Sometimes times of open worship are a little bit like when you've watched the Olympics and the gymnast runs down the ramp and she hits the horse and she flies through the air. And it's really important to stick the landing. And as the pastor who gets to close those, sometimes you don't want to miss that opportunity to stick the landing. And so this morning we're going to let the orchestra come down and we're going to let the children be dismissed for children's church. But if you were sitting on something that you just knew you had to share, you've got a couple more seconds to regroup and then maybe stand or raise your hand. But while the kids are going and the orchestra is coming out, we're going to let that happen. And if not, I'm going to close our quiet time, our open worship time, and then we'll move on with this morning's service. A really great thing in a church is when it takes almost a minute to clear the children out of the sanctuary. And I may mean that. That is a great, great problem to have. We're not putting the mics away just yet, but I wanted to give you a couple of things that you can be praying about as a congregation, and then a praise note. Tony and Ashley Hatton welcomed a little girl this morning to their family. I don't have a name yet. I know Todette and Todine was still very much in consideration, but we haven't heard for sure. But we know there's a little healthy girl, and we are thankful and rejoicing that that she arrived safely, and it seemed like Mom and Dad did okay too. So praise note for that. Also, Corey Erickson, a young man from our church who had a knee reconstructed here a while back, is going to have to go back in tomorrow morning. The doctor is going to have to clean some stuff up, maybe remove a little scar tissue, and also just check to make sure the ACL repair is still there. So it's not really the best case scenario, but just pray that this time it holds and the infection is at bay and that he can really get back to healing. I know it's been quite a little journey for him already. And then just remember Dolores Stevens in your prayer. She's still in the ICU and still has a way to go. To come back, but we know God is able. All right? Pray with me. God, today we thank you that we get to hear from you in various ways, from little boys and young ladies sharing with us the meaning behind the Advent wreath, to songs, to musical notes just played for our ears that draw us to you, to words of other believers of hope and encouragement and recovery. And not only recovery, but restoration to what was even had never been, the restoring to what you had in mind from the beginning. And we thank you that you are a God who works that way, a God who reveals himself to us. Father, I pray that you'll be with the words of my mouth this morning and the thoughts of our hearts, that they would bring you honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today I want to talk to you a little bit about Revelation, and we're entering in... We're second week into the Advent season, and today I want to talk to us about Revelation, those light bulb moments that happen. And I'm just going to talk and read scripture from one of them, but there's actually a couple from this story that go together. But our scripture this morning, when it comes to Revelation, to light bulb moments, to the aha, to epiphany, the word for epiphany, our scripture is from Matthew chapter 1, part of the Christmas story. And this is because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. He did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. He's going to do the right thing. This is Joseph, the father, the adoptive father of Jesus Christ, who we celebrate this morning and light candles and sing songs. But after he considered this, and sometimes I like to consider the timing of Scripture, why not before? Why put him through this? If you're going to send an angel, God, send him before. But it says he's a righteous guy and he's torn. Here's this young lady, this, you know, and the system then maybe was different, but young men and young women have been falling in love for a long time. Why not before? But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, reminded him of his past, who his parents were. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. And then, of course, that's the system of the day. He was already her husband, but he hadn't taken her home as his wife yet. Do not be afraid to take her home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Epiphanies, revelations, something so absolutely fresh it just blows your mind. I tell this story because the children are out for children's worship, but Casey was sharing with me not too long after Katie had shown up at Haviland Elementary School that Sawyer had come home and gave a report. He said, "That Katie, Mom." I don't know what that means. I have no idea. But there are times that something comes into our life that it just, it's altering of how we do things. Coaching Little League, one of my favorite things is when you finally got a kid to stand correctly and have his hands comfortably and to swing confidently and to keep his eye on the ball and to watch the ball hit the bat, not to look anywhere else. And when that finally started to click, you could see in their eyes this epiphany, this aha moment, this, I can do this, and it's so freeing. My older sister, she's 15 months older than me. She learned to ride a bike with training wheels, which is sad and tragic. I only say this because my dad had been through that journey with her. And so when I got a Schwinn bike with the ape hanger handlebars and the banana seat and a sissy bar. I don't know where my parents got it. Maybe somebody who was wealthy donated it to us, but I had that bike. And so I go, "Dad, I got the bike," and I go, "Let's put Sissy's training wheels on it and I can learn to ride." He goes, "No, we're not doing that." And so he took me for a day. We were down the sidewalk. We went to the telephone company where he worked, parking lot. And he ran. I mean, he probably ran more that day. And he held on to the sissy bar. And pretty soon, man, I was easy rider. Within that day, man, I was pedaling past my sister. The wind blowing through my number two setting buzz cut. But it would have been an easy rider cut had I had hair. But I was, oh, man, I was cool. But it... when you have those moments where, yes, I can ride a bike. I can ride confidently. I can look forward. Don't look down. I don't have that many memories of my dad that was killed about a year or so later. I don't have that many, but I remember his voice saying, "Don't you dare look down. Don't you dare look down. You look ahead." And that epiphany that when you look ahead and you ride with confidence, you can ride a bike. Or maybe for you, it's even a more recent event. Like somebody came and actually explained it to you in words that you could understand and talked slowly enough. You know, those techie people, they talk so fast and with words that go so high, but they finally used words tiny enough for me to understand that I thought, I could use this phone. I can get a call. Slide. Don't. For the first time, an aha moment. On a serious one, I remember in college, we had some folks come to chapel and speak. We had special speakers here for in the spring and the fall, it seemed like, for revival services back then. And I remember a man came and spoke at chapel by the name of David Leach. And as a young pastoral ministries major, I remember sitting there and listening to him tell stories and making me laugh and making me cry. And then drawing me closer to Jesus, and I thought, wow, that's something. And then we had a guy come twice, I think, while I was here, by the name of Bob Benson. Bob Benson owned part of Benson Music Company. He was a traveling author/speaker. And Bob was sick. Most of the time, he was kind of sick, and he just told stories about peanut butter jars and the band marching towards the stands. And I remember thinking, God might be able to use me. Because I knew, if anything, I was not Gary Wright. I was not this big, dynamic, pound the pulpit. You know, I mean, Gary could say, "Hi, I'm Gary Wright. Come to the altar." That would have been the extent of it, and people would come. I don't have that gift set. But I remember that aha moment when I thought, David, now I'm not saying I'm David Leach or Bob Benson either. Please, that's not the comparison I'm making. But I remember I had this epiphany, this revelation that God can use me These are great words, an aha, an epiphany, a revelation. They're excellent words, rich with meaning. They're only held back by one thing. For most of us today, we think of them metaphorically or symbolically. Today, take those two off the table. When you think of epiphanies and aha moments and revelations, say they can still happen. In fact, God wants them to still happen to you, even this morning. And some of you have already had some. And that's fantastic. First of all, some revelations of the first Christmas parents. Point number one, some revelations of the first Christmas parents as we move along, this epiphany thing. A lot of times when we talk about Mary and Joseph, we think how courageous they were. And they were. And how brave they were in the face of, in a small village. Think about this. They're in a village like Haviland, which, you know, nothing ever is spoken behind the scenes. You know, there's never unpleasant words exchanged. You know, there's nothing.
Well, you know, the baby might have got there a little early.
So they were courageous, and even though the whisperings in the village might have been illegitimate, we don't want to downplay the fact that this first couple, this couple of Christmas, had one huge advantage. They were acting by or on a revelation. They had both, one in a dream, and to Mary, face to face, met with one of God's angels. And I looked all over for art on the internet about it, and I don't know what angels look like, but I don't think they're cute little babies. They're not cute little cherubs with little chubby cheeks going, hey, you know, it's going to be okay. It'll be okay. Just go for it. I think they're these big, brawny, I got this, you know, they're like, maybe not with an Arnold Schwarzenegger accent, but they're big, burly guys, and they're right, and they said, don't worry. God is in this. What you have going on is of the Holy Spirit. And so they were acting by or on a revelation. And so, yes, it's great to think of them, all they went through, and they got on the little donkey, and they rode, and they went to the census, and they were brave, yes, but they had a revelation. They weren't just guessing. They weren't just groping and moving forward. They had this revelation. And I think those of us need to be thinking about, are we capable of having aha moments? Are we still capable of having revelation? In Proverbs 29, just write this down, 29:18, it says that if you don't, you might make some missteps. There, it could lead to some bad things. Now, there's steps I think we can take. I think it's okay to invite God in, to appeal to Him. Say, God, reveal to us yourself. If it's in your will, reveal to us. Give us some small glimpses of what lies ahead. Now, He may not throw out a floodlight years in advance, but He might give you, you know, the light unto your path, those footsteps. I got permission to share this ahead of time. I don't always do that. And sometimes in epiphany, it can be a mistake. I asked Brock if it's okay if I share this story. Shortly before she started receiving phone calls from a number she did not recognize, she was having a discussion with someone, felt impressed. They said, you know, you're getting to the age where you could find a widower. Because she'd been single into her past her mid-30s. We don't want to let out any secrets here. But that was kind of an aha moment. That, oh, that could happen. Now, maybe God should have prepared her a little bit more for what that package would look like. But He had prepared her that this is something that could, it was an epiphany, a revelation. So can we appeal to God that He would reveal to us, at least in small glimpses? And maybe another thing we can do when it comes to revelation in modern times is maybe, just maybe, we could carve out some time to actually listen to Him. Do you very seldom, or how often, do you make yourself available to be undistracted and to listen to Him? To be undistracted and try to just hear or sense His leading. Do you bring people into your life that will help you do that? So do you appeal to Him? Do you carve out some time to hear from Him? And then do you stay in His Word? Do you stay in His Word? Because the Word, it reveals some things to us. Obviously, it's God's revelation. But it also serves to clarify, correct, and confirm some of those epiphanies, some of those ahas, some of those personal revelations. So stay in his word. And then, I know there's a lot of and thens, but as we think about modern day revelation, do we humbly prepare to act on and obey the revelation he gives us? Some say, God never speaks to me. You know, he's still waiting for you to do what he told you the last time. You know, well, God has been silent. That's because you've been in rebellion for 15 years. Just saying. So in this way, I think we can take epiphanies out of this metaphorical, symbolic thing to think about for other people and say that God is still speaking. God is not deaf. His voice is not mute. It's just that we haven't afforded ourselves, listened to, asked for, obeyed these current revelations. So as we think about this great revelation, the good news of great joy that will be for all people, that the angels came and the heavenly host came and announced to the shepherds, and then also to Mary face to face this angel appeared, and to Joseph in a dream when he needed it most, those are still available for us today. That has not stopped. So you say, this is one of those sermons where I used to have a lady in my church in Grinnell. She'd write, and she got it from somewhere else, YBH. Yes, but how? Yes, but how? YBH. Yeah, I want this revelation here. And I gave you some things, but here's the greatest thing I think that we need to do is to refill the pot. Point number two, but in order to refill the pot, sometimes we have to make it empty. That's a coffee pot. That's happened at my house more than once. I'm a slow learner. We know this. This is how it happens. I have some issues. I know that. I like things clean. I like, and like sometimes coffee pots get that brown residue, and some people think that's like adds to the flavor. I don't. So I think what I'll do is I'll fill that with really hot water and I'll leave it soak. So then I think, well, this is out on the counter. This is everything should have. So I put it in its place. The next morning I have sleep in my eyes and I need coffee. So I put the filter in. I fill the coffee pot. I get the filtered water out of the fridge and I pour it into the coffee pot and I hit go. And then I go to do something else because it takes 5 minutes. Then what I have is half a pot, a full pot of weak coffee and a counterful and a floor issue of more coffee that's weak because there wasn't enough room in the pot for that coffee. He said, Todd, we know what does... That's our picture of our lives. We have no room for revelation. We have no room for epiphany because we're full. Or we're at least half full of it. Sorry, that's maybe misspoke. Maybe not. From John chapter 12, and John, Jesus loved. I tell you the truth, Jesus said to John, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, if it empties itself, it produces many seeds. Some of us need to die to self. Some of us need to empty ourselves, to get self out of the way so that we can receive these epiphanies. Have you ever received advice you didn't want? Exercise philosophies? Somebody just, hey, this would be a good idea for you. Diet tips? You know, there's certain people I can take diet tips from. Somebody who weighs 110 pounds and has a high metabolism, I don't care about their diet tips. The other day, I was outside the cafeteria, and Adrian and I were talking about some of this diet. And Adrian is kind of a guy in my age group and in my sphere. And I could hear him. You guys need to be nice. That's being vulnerable. Well, so the exercise, driving. You love the driving tips, don't you? What about directions? Now, you know, I've got a Garmin. I love the Garmin. Love the Garmin. I just feel good because it tells me the speed limit. Even if it's wrong, I think I can go with you, Garmin. My wife, she's got a phone now. It's trying to tell the Garmin what to do. And she's got better ideas. I need to be empty in order to receive that revelation. Parental pointers. My older sister knew everything about being a parent, and then she became one. God is good. Home improvement projects. Home improvement projects. You know, that insight instruction. Your neighbor, hey, if you did it, yeah, that'd have been helpful 2 days ago. You know, show up now. You know, you should have come over 2 days ago with your hammer and saw. We'd have been done already. So we receive this advice you really don't want. You're not ready for it. The coffee pot's half full of water that's stewing to get the other junk out, and you pour the ingredients in, and it comes in, and it's a mess. Have you ever tried to give somebody advice? I have a good friend who says you can't have somebody else's epiphany. That's good stuff, isn't it? You can't have somebody else's epiphany. I have a 20-year-old daughter who used to think I knew something. She was here last Sunday. You have to be careful, dads and moms, how you give advice to 20-year-old daughters. I have a 26-year-old something newlywed child. He still doesn't think I know anything. The 28-year-old starting to have a little epiphany of his own that dad might have known some things. In fact, he was holding his little, you know, looking at his little boy, and I heard words come out of his mouth how he was going to raise his little boy because he'd watch some other little boy, and his little boy was never going to do that. I know where you heard that, but I didn't say. The pot was just beginning to get opened up. You ever had somebody, it goes both ways. You ever tried to give somebody advice on the golf course? Yeah, thanks. That's useful. I will hit you with my club if you open your mouth again. Somebody struggling financially, they have to be ready to hear. They have to be ready to hear about the wisdom of budgeting and the wisdom of honoring God, the wisdom of not, you know, all of those things. You can't speak into that until they're ready to hear. I'm going to be really vulnerable. My wife, I don't know, this is kind of like giving your wife a treadmill for Christmas. I don't know. My wife bought me a session with a personal trainer. Yeah, you all don't get ahead of me. It was an hour session. I listened to that guy for about 5 minutes, and I was done. You know, he was like one of those guys that has more muscles than anybody needs, and when he moved his arms, his tattoos danced, you know, and he said, well, you know, what do you need to do is, you know, how are you stretching? I go like this, you know, and he goes, well, what you need to do, he pulled out this giant rubber ball. Now, I can't find shirts big enough or shorts long enough for me to ever want to get on a rubber ball in front of anybody, ever. He goes, you need to lay on this rubber ball like that. I go, I'm not doing that. You know, and he goes, well, so how do you usually follow up your chin-up session? I go, by standing on the ground wishing I could do a chin-up. He goes, well, you should never follow your chin-up session with your sit-up session. I go, what makes you think I have ever done a sit-up session? I obviously was not ready for professional input. The pot was happening here, and I'm sure he was thinking, boy, this guy's really full of himself. And he was right. You know what I was thinking? This guy is really full of himself. Neither one of us were in position for me to learn. You know what my wife asked for Christmas one time? A session with a trainer. And she loved it, but she was ready. Plus, her lady looked more human. When we are full of ourselves, there's very little room for anything else, especially words from the Lord, especially epiphanies. I know a big bouncy ball is probably good for my core. I just don't want to do it yet. I'm not sure I ever will. And I know now that I should never follow my pull-up session with a push-up session or vice versa or a sit-up session. But I also like, this is a big day for me because I very seldom get to quote Lord Chesterfield, advice is seldom welcome, and those who need it most like it least. Advice is seldom welcome. And those who need it most like it least. Now, I knew, please hear me, Mary and Joseph must have been teachable. They must have been. And they lived in a time when there weren't smartphones and iPads and big screens and malls and movies. But let's also be clear, an angel appeared to them. But today, if you don't get much else, maybe I just want to invite you to make yourself a little more open. Maybe try to make yourself a little more empty. To get a little of the self out of the way so the Lord can come in. William Barrow, in a work called A Hallowed Space to Be Filled, wrote this. A cup must be empty before it can be filled. If it is already filled full, it cannot be filled again, except by emptying it out. In order to fill anything, there must be a hollowed out space. Otherwise, it can't receive. This is especially true of God's word. In order to receive it, we must be hollowed out. We must be capable of receiving it, emptied of false self and its endless demands. Here comes Christmas. When Christ came, there was no room in the inn. It was full. The inn is possibly a symbol of our heart. God's word, Christ, can take root only in a hollow. I told you all this morning, and we're concluding now to tell you this. God can make you hollow if he has to. God can create empty spaces for us. I guess as your pastor, as I look forward to the Christmas season with you, and then also even further into the future into a new year, I want to encourage you to create some empty space, to some hollow space. And I know December is busy. So could we have some empty space in there somewhere? Could you have some empty space in there somewhere where God can say, aha, I have a revelation for you. I have a word for you. I have something for you. Don't be like me with the trainer. Don't do that. Make some room for the Christ of Christmas this Christmas season. Make some room for that revelation. God can send an angel. He can. He did it twice in that Christmas story. But maybe if we have a little space, he won't have to. So this year, hear from the word of the Lord. Hear from the Christ of Christmas. Hear from that word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Pray with me. God, today I thank you for my brothers and sisters that I get to walk with. And as we charge this first Sunday in December, the second Sunday of Advent, if we get ready to go headlong into Christmas, may we pause and hollow some space out to hear from you. And God, may we make room in our families' lives and activities that we can sense your leading, that we can recognize epiphanies when they happen, that we will very much sense that Christmas is real, that Jesus came, that angels appeared to shepherds and they fell and worshiped. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed this morning. Hug some people, smile at some folks, shake some hands. You're dismissed.